It's simple, you're watching Thorin channel.
Right, this is going to be another episode of Talk to Thorin, and my guest for this one is going to be NPL or Nipple, you can decide how you say it, who obviously plays now in Bait Gaming, and they are actually going to be at the Major. So first things first, let's just ask that question, because I know you've been asked it before, but let's just get out of the way in case someone is unfamiliar, right? The weird thing is, because we mainly in the West got to know you when you joined the big Na'vi team and you were like the fifth guy joining in there. At the time, a famous thing in the West is commentators just say whatever they think the name is that someone has, sometimes before they find out. Like, I don't know if you know this, but the player from Denmark we all call Zipnix, the clutch minister, that's not actually how his name was written. It's supposed to be like Zipex or something, and the nine was supposed to be like an E. But his problem is there was too many years where like Anders just said Zipnix, so we all just say Zipnix now. I know in your case, people wondered, did they call you Nipple just to be silly because your name was NPL? Or is that like, you know, what did you intend it to be something else? Was it supposed to be NPL? You were telling me, like, it actually was originally supposed to be Nipple, but you got told to change it.
Yeah. Originally, it was Nipple. That was my idea, that casters who cast on English will, it will be good for them to say my nickname. So that was my idea. But okay. Unfortunately, Na'vi asked me to change it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because of some reasons. Yeah.
Right. One thing people might know is your era of when you were in the junior team, the academy squad, was when they'd already had some successes. They'd already had Bit and they'd already had Monacy and these really famous players. When you joined the Na'vi junior team, were you someone where, like, how did they scout you? Were you actually a player that was out there playing competitively already? How did they find a player like you?
I was playing Placid, and Na'vi made it's like an invitation doc, you know?
Okay.
I was, something like this. And I sent it my Placid, my demos, my best games, something like this. And then Crash, at that time it was coach for Na'vi, Yas. It's like third roster for Na'vi back then. And he texted me, like, we want to test you because we saw you. Actually, it was like my second time sending my...
applying or whatever, yeah.
Yeah. First time, they didn't answer me, but second one, when I qualified for FPLC, they texted me, then I completed the test, and they took me in Na'vi's, yeah. And that was my first professional team.
When you were in that team, what type of role were you doing? Were you set up to be one of the stars? What was it like in that squad?
When I sent my...
application, my,
application, this word, yeah, application. When I sent my application, I was helper, but unfortunately... There was already opera in Na'vi's, Latic, and I decided for myself to change my role, maybe to like star riffler or playmaker, yeah. And I changed my role, so I started to play like Khan or on Mirage and Mutant Ancient, these positions.
Because one question I want to ask you is, your era of Na'vi Junior was the one that had Hetrick in. And there's a detail that a lot of people, believe it or not, NPL, didn't know until he was like halfway into his time in Ninjas in Pyjamas, which is he was signed to the West, like to NIP, and people thought, oh, it's like the Modesty move to G2. But what they didn't know is Modesty was an AWPer, but Hetrick wasn't, but he got signed to NIP to be the AWPer. And so he actually had, I think he had a lot of pressure on him in that team to be basically like as good as Modesty or something. Whereas like, as far as I know, he was swapping roles. So was that a strange move when you heard about this? What was Hetrick like in the Na'vi squad with you?
He was an AWPer like me. We probably have the same like storyline, but because Monacy moved to G2, Hetrick took AWPer role, and he was playing with AWP like maybe for half a year in Na'vi Junior, and then he moved to NAP. So that's like his storyline. But I was like introduced to Na'vi.
Okay. Because I want to ask, actually, since obviously you've worked with him since then, he's in your Bait team, what is Hetrick like now compared to when he used to be with you in Na'vi Junior?
That's completely another player. He's more calmer, more experienced. I can feel it in game. Like, it's hard to say like this, but I can feel it in the game that he's more experienced, he's more calm. That's like... he improved a lot.
I want to ask you a question, but I've got to set up the concept a little bit, which is, I don't know how much of old school CS you remember, but at the beginning of CSGO, the number one team was the Swedish NIP, the one with Get Right and Forrest and those guys, and the one that won the 87 matches in a row. And there was a famous concept, which is, for years, when they made a roster move, it was only ever the not famous original player that got removed. It was always, they brought in a fifth player, and it was like, you know, Freiburg, Exist, basically everyone except Fiflaren. And then whoever got kicked, it was always just that fifth player. And unfortunately, at the time, people's premise was that what they were doing was, when they needed to bring someone in, they recruited someone because that player was good, but they just sort of told him what his roles were going to be. Like, right, you're going to have to do this shit role, and I don't want to do this, so you do this. And the perception from outside the team was, because they were just getting someone who was talented, but putting them in like the worst roles, that's why that player always looked bad, had the bad stats, and then they got kicked from the team, and the cycle sort of repeated. I think some people, NPL, in your case, think that's what happened to you in the main Na'Vi team. Like, if someone gives you an offer to join the main Na'Vi team, obviously, who's going to say no? It'd be silly. Like, this is the dream, right? To be in the real Na'Vi team, to play with Simple and Electronica. But when people look at your game now, they're going to see, it seems like it's so much more wide open, and you can do so much more than we ever saw you were allowed to do in Na'Vi. So, I want to ask, when you joined Na'Vi, did they put you in kind of cynical roles? Did you feel like you got the tough spots? Isn't, did they understand who you were as a player? Can you give me some thoughts on this?
I mean, I can say a lot about this. Let's start with my game back then. I didn't have a lot of matches on Special TV. I had maybe like 60 or 70 matches on Na'Vi Junior. And back then I thought that I probably could improve, and maybe in half a year or a year, I will be able to play in Tier 1. But that was that was my opinion back then. But if I think about it right now, for sure I wasn't ready. And I was, a lot of pressure was on me back then also. And I can say that I wasn't ready. And also, about what you said, that I had the strict roles. We had a lot of scripts and struts that I just had to go out and do a strict role just to go out, someone defrag me, and they play the end of the round. And they, no, that was my role back then. And if I kill, that's good. If I don't kill, that's also fine. But because I'm going out, and I just
Because I think one thing that people would be surprised by is you are only 19 now, which means you were like, what, 17 years old when you were in this team or something? Maybe a bit younger. Were you 16? How old were you when you joined the main Na'Vi team?
I was 17.5, let's say like this.
Because to me, that you had played in Na'Vi Junior, so they knew who you were. But to me, the pressure's crazy because there's two angles here, NPL. One is you're joining one of the best teams in the world. Remember, that team used to be in semi-finals all the time, and they used to win a lot, obviously, before you joined. So the pressure's big anyway. But then simultaneously, people, I think, to this day, credit Blade and Na'Vi when they see them with all those dossiers and all those documents and the strats, and people think Blade's like the ultimate mastermind. This isn't like just joining a team where people play really loose and you're just doing whatever you want. Like, it sounds like there's a lot to learn if you join Na'Vi, and the system's really complicated. You have to study it all. Was it really hard to come to? Like, was it more challenging than you realized?
For sure, yes. Because as you said, there was a lot of these papers. When we had a game, sometimes I even had like three or four papers with strats on one map. Okay, let's say maybe three, not four, maybe three papers, but. For example, like 20 rounds on that papers. So that's really a lot, and we could do any of that round, any. But I didn't have a lot of time to learn every round, and I had to like read it in 20 seconds and do it.
Right.
I mean during the game. Yeah, that was really hard, and sometimes I didn't remember all my roles, and didn't have enough time to read my role and do it properly. And some of my teammates were angry about it. And with time, it made bigger and bigger pressure on me because sometimes we lost rounds that was very important. And it was really hard, like, to hold this pressure, because for me at the time that was very important to make my roles properly, so my do everything I could for my team. So yeah, that's it.
Okay. Along these lines, I do have some questions then. So one of the most famous teammates that people know was upset with you was Simple, because he kept fucking saying it in interviews. Like, I made the joke when we were at Elisa. Like, I think Simple thought he was being tactful, because what he would do is he wouldn't just say NPL sucks and he's the reason we lost. He'd be like, some players in our team just don't know what they're doing. And it's like, well, there's only one just joined the team. It has to be him. So what I want to know is, like, I kind of asked you when we were at that event, like, how do you even handle that, bro? Like, remember, it is Simple. He is the best. Like, he is amazing. But, like, it's got to be pretty hard to deal with. So you're being, like, publicly criticized by a teammate. Was that tough to deal with? How do you handle it?
Back then, it was, like, 50-50. It was kindly fair because, for sure, I was making some mistakes. But,
right.
To make it such, to make it on interviews, to say it on interviews and etc. I mean, it's not fine, I think, because it's like not respectful to teammates. Yeah, let's say like this. That's who he is.
Yeah.
That's who he is. Yeah.
No, the joke is NPL, I can tell you. He's done that to some really great players. Like, it's not like he's just doing it to you, or not. Simple's pretty notorious for being the guy where if he thinks he's right, he's going to tell the person.
Yeah, he was, when I joined Navi, he was my GOAT, actually. And he's right. Still my GOAT. I mean, I still consider him the best CS player ever. Yeah.
Sure. By the way, along similar lines, another thing that must have been tricky to deal with was, people will remember, this when you joined was the first year Electronic took over as in-game leader. Obviously, that's not a role he originally planned to do. They used to have Boomich. He obviously had his own successful role within the team, right? I think a lot of people have been quite critical of Electronic as an in-game leader since, in Cloud9 and Virtus Pro. So what was it like to work with him at the time? Like, could you tell he was like a newer in-game leader? Did he have a good sense of Blade system? What was he like back then?
At the start, he was calling pretty well. I liked it. It was like flow style, because sometimes we played scripts. Sometimes he called something like, let's go contact here, let's do this. I mean, like, simple, easier CS, just go and kill, just go and kill, something like this. I think this is, because I also took the AGL role, and I'll say like this. When I started AGLing at the start, it was really like I had a lot of enthusiasm, and I called a lot, like something fresh. But maybe in 3 months or half a year, it was like a routine, and it was really hard. And I think that Electronic had the problem with this also, because it was hard for him to be AGL. For quite a lot of time. I mean, yeah.
I mean, along and these lines. Yeah, go on, keep going.
Yeah, and this is also a problem for me. I think not every player ready for this.
Because along these lines, that was another thing I was going to ask you, is when people hear what you said before about how you had like strict roles in the Blade system and it was involving like often just getting killed so they could trade you, that might sound rough. But on the other hand, if you're saying sometimes Electronic was just playing floor style CS, I can imagine that's also a lot of pressure, because it means they're expecting you to just know what to do at all times, like a top level pro that's been in all the positions. Is that not hard to do when you're just dropped into a team like this?
I mean, it was hard. It was hard, yes.
By the way, one thing I actually was impressed with when I talked to you at Elisa Masters when we did that interview was, you don't seem like someone, put it this way, I've known people who were teammates of Simple or who've just been in teams where they were the player that got criticised, where it makes them quite bitter, or they hate that person, or they feel like it's unfair that it happened to me. You actually seem like you have quite a healthy mentality. Like, you even said in the interview at Elisa, like, sometimes you were wrong and sometimes you probably needed people to call you out or whatever, or you weren't at the appropriate level. Like, it seems like you have a good mentality towards what you went through.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a self-criticism. You also have to have a self-criticism and be cold-minded. Don't think that you're the best player ever. Of course, if you're not the best player ever. And look at their mistakes with cold mind. That's it. I mean, obviously, I was playing bad, so no, like, this is the fact. But every player can improve, and with time he'll play better and better. So yeah, that's it.
I do think people forget that because Na'Vi was used to winning, when they weren't winning, everyone used to act like every event it was the end of the world. But if people go back, like I said, even this team with Ewan was still making the semifinals of most of the events. And oftentimes the team you're losing to is the team that wins the event. Like, to me, it wasn't that far off. Like, most of these matches, you know, are a few rounds or a map. Like, did you feel as though Na'Vi, when you were playing them, did you feel like the team could have won tournaments?
I think this is a hard question because that back then that there was Heroic, like very strong team, and we couldn't. I mean, Heroic, let's say Vitality, G2, they were dominating that days, and like a lot of good teams who played a lot with each other, and experienced players, and for Na'Vi. We had like four experienced players who won the major, and me, who was like introduced from academy, from tier three, let's say like this. And it was like very hard for us to win tournaments because I didn't have much experience like other players and other teams. And I mean, if you wanted to win the tournaments, tier one, we had to they had to give me more time, I guess, or just replace me. Yeah. And maybe I think we made like three semifinals. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, something like this. And I think the biggest like the biggest fault, the biggest fail was major because we didn't make it to playoffs. Yeah,
yes.
And we lost the last map from the 15-9 score.
Yes. I was going to actually ask this. If people go back, that seems so obviously that one map basically cost you your job in Na'Vi. In fact, it's why they changed the whole Na'Vi squad. Because if people remember, it was the game when you played against FaZe Clan in the 2-2 match. The last map was Anubis, which at the time, almost no one played. In fact, FaZe Clan wasn't even particularly good on it. And you guys basically had the game almost won. And they did, like, I think one of the craziest comebacks I've ever seen in CS, mate. Like, that game was insane. Like, I think it was the one where Brokey had, like, a 40 bomb or something crazy. Like, if you guys win that match and you're in the playoffs, maybe Na'Vi continues, right?
Yeah, I think that could have happened, yeah. And I can say about that game that we probably lost, like, concentration because at 15, I don't remember, I won 1v2 clutch, and next round, or maybe 2 rounds in a row, we, like, lost our concentrations, concentration, and we, like, didn't finish our game, and they lost that, like, that small thing who which helped us to win that rounds on T-side. I mean, T-side even back then was very strong on Anubis, but we just we had puzzles, and every puzzle, like, it's hard for me to say, but I think you understand.
Yeah,
like we lost our puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. After this, when you then came and this bait team was around, give me some stories on that. What happens when you find out you're not playing a Na'Vi anymore? How do you come to this team?
I mean, on Paris Major, when we lost to FaZe, the next day I texted Sam DeYoung, and we were. I asked him to go for a walk to the park, and we talked with him. I asked him some questions about his time in Na'Vi. And what was his what was he thinking when he was kicked? And he said to me that he even didn't care because
he was probably also sick of getting criticized. I'm guessing.
Sorry. He wasn't kicked. He left.
Right.
He left. Yeah. But he said that it was early for him because of this pressure. And I decided for myself that also I feel that I'm not ready, and I cannot handle the pressure, and it will be better for me and for the team if I get kicked or left. Doesn't matter. And for myself, I was like, I prepared myself for this kick, and maybe in a month or in a two, I'm Iran. This is head of esports for Na'Vi, I guess.
Right.
I'm not sure with his role in Na'Vi. He called me and told me that they want to change the roster and make it international, and I will not be in that roster here.
By the way, when you're saying there about talking to some Dio, did you have a shared experience, do you think, of being like the fifth by a Na'vi and getting blamed?
Yeah, we talked a lot that day. I mean, like, maybe an hour or an hour and a half. Yeah, we just was talking about it, about experience, about like atmosphere and everything. And yeah, we like shared some thoughts.
When you came to this bait team, did you take over in-game leader role immediately?
Invite?
In-game leader. Did you become in-game leader when you joined the team?
No. I wasn't agile. I had to took it... let's say like this. When I joined bait, Amster was agile. But with time, Amster was agile. And this time we understand that we can't play like this because he's not experienced and obviously his calls wasn't like really good and he also couldn't handle the pressure. And I decided to take agile role, but I talked with my coach and we talked about it, that if I will play bet individually, probably we'll need to find another agile and change players. And he said for me, okay, this is fine, but let's try like this. So we tried it and it worked out.
Okay. By the way, how would you explain your style of in-game leader? What type of an in-game leader are you?
Probably like the twists in Liquid before Suki, something like this. Yeah, he was also like aggressive, but very good at calling. Yeah,
because this is one thing I wanted to ask you. I think people obviously are quite impressed by your skills actually in bait and the fact you're one of the fraggers, etc. But it's quite unusual that the in-game leader is doing this, especially in kind of the roles you're playing. So, do you call some of the game around yourself? How would you say that aspect works?
If we win easily, if you play against a bad opponent or opponent that playing bad right now, usually I make less calls, but other players help me and they do their ideas and I agree with them because also I want to play good as a player individually. But if we have a hard game and this is very important for us to. Play together as a team and we have to have a good ideas for the round and the mid-round calls. I play more for the team. I'm not like making calls about around myself. I just play for the team. I focus more on the map, on my players and how I have to put them on map and how they have to play and what they have to do, what they have to throw and just the micromanagement. I focus more on micromanagement.
One of the things about the time when you've been in bait is this is the era where there are a million online tournaments, there's all the CCTs, all the qualifiers. But the problem is, if you don't go to the LAN, like I know a lot of pro players that are in this position now. It's like they play every single day almost. Like there's just a qualifier or a match or something. And it seems to me like even though they aren't going to LAN, so it looks like they're not as active, they're actually the most active players. They play more than tier one teams. Like some tier one teams don't play online. So how do you, has it been like challenging to have so many matches? Do you embrace the grind? Do you like it?
I feel that everyone liked it in our team because it's like a prime for us, you know, to play a lot of matches. If you play CS a lot, you feel that if you play a lot, you're playing very good. And we played a lot of officials. We probably had like maybe 300 maps for 3 months.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's quite crazy.
We had a lot, and everyone was in very good form. In insanely good form, and we just was winning everything. We won maybe 3 or 4 CCT tournaments. I don't remember. We won a lot. Yeah, we won a lot.
What do you think about back then? Obviously, it was a different system. It wasn't VRS. Do you think back then did the big tournaments not pay enough attention to online tournaments? Should you have been given invites? Do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think yes, because. This is like a problem of CS back then with HLTV rating because we were winning a lot of tournaments, but we didn't get any invite. We won like 2 or 3 tournaments in 3 months, but our HLTV rating wasn't didn't change a lot. It was like maybe top 30, maybe top 25, but and it didn't give us any invite. So I mean, we played a lot, but that didn't give us even a chance to play on tier 2 LAN at least.
Sure.
Yeah.
What about when you guys did the RMR for the Shanghai Major? What happened? I think people thought you might be a team that would sneak through.
Yeah, we also thought that we will be able to qualify to Shanghai Major, but I think the problem was with our mentality and that we had a lot of expectations, and that was our problem because we thought that we should qualify and we are the team who can win, if not every, but a lot of teams in that RMR. And we couldn't handle the pressure because our game was... We didn't play our game. We didn't play our game totally because we missed a lot of nades. We had bad communication. And, I mean, everything was bad. We were playing, like, face it stuck, let's say, like this.
Because I feel like the sad thing is, like I say, from the online tournaments that people aren't paying as much attention to, and then you just didn't get to go to many of the LANs. I don't think people know this team could have had a chance. Like, I remember watching that ESL Challenger Katowice tournament you played, where you won three maps against Eternal Fire. And by the way, this is when Eternal Fire had been in, like, the final against Na'Vi, and, like, everyone was really rating them. And also, you beat Pain Gaming. They were considered, like, a good team. They were going to the majors, etc. To me, these results almost show, like, this team could, if they'd have been in tournaments, you would have had a chance to do something, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, about Katowice, we played there without pressure. That was tournament for us to just gain confidence and just play online and like feel it before RMR. And we even almost won the tournament then there. And that was a good experience for us. And we was, as I said before, we had a lot of expectations about RMR. Because this result in Katowice and Eliza also we had before RMR.
Yes.
Also that was tournament which we considered as a tournament to gain confidence.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Let me ask about some of the players in bait then. Since you're the captain, you give me a different perspective. Who is Alex 666? The guy people might remember just won that amazing 1v3 the other day. Who is this guy?
Sorry, can you repeat?
Yeah, who is Alex 666 to you? Tell me, as a player, as a person, who is he?
He is very calm and like very consistent player. He had I'll say it in the end. He's very calm and a really consistent player, and very good guy, very good person. I can't say a bad words about him. Because there's nothing to say about him, but and also he's a good player, good teammate. He was playing like second fragger in the team, but after RMR, he said that he would like to take a support role or an anchor, and if a team needed, so he even changed his role. And started to play support, and I mean, he's doing pretty well. Yeah, he has good aim, everything good. About this MRQ, he was playing good, but he had like one or two bad games, and people instantly started to say that he's can't handle the pressure or something
right.
like this. Yeah. After one or two games. And I told him, bro, just don't care about it. Just play your game. I feel that you're a very good player, and I believe in you. And at the end, he won this clash 1v3. I mean, so there's nothing people can say about him bad now, because he gave us this opportunity.
Sure. I mean, I asked you earlier about Hedtrick, but I think what I would ask you now in this current team is, he also seems like it's a bit like your situation. It feels like he has something similar from when he was in NIP. Like, obviously it was a tough time, but it seems like he's like mentally bounced back from that. And he's ready to like prove himself again.
Yeah, for sure. As I said before, he's a completely different player and he's more confident. He changed his play style. And as I know, NIP... back then forced him to play with IOP. Like, if they had IOP, they forced him to play with it. But I think this meta, and even meta back then, IOP was ruining economy. And it's not always was good for the team. Because if you, for example, there's a situation when you can buy one AVP or two M4s, for example,
yes,
or two AKs. So sometimes it's better to buy two AKs and win around like this than one AVP. Yeah, and he also helped us in game. He very very focused and on the economy. So is very important. This is a guy on the team who very focused on economy, and it helps a lot because when situations like 50-50, he call us to go save.
Right.
And sometimes this is very important in this meta because the economy like broken, and because of max around 13, you cannot like try some retakes 50-50. Yeah, this is very important. And also, he's started to play much better with IOP for sure, because at least on this summer queue, he made a lot of important kills and in very important rounds. Yeah. And yes.
I think when I came to this Elisa Masters tournament, some people knew some of the other players, but I think one of the ones no one knew outside of Ukraine is Essential. Who is this guy? Explain him to me.
This is probably my best friend in this team. He's like, we have probably the same vibe. He's also a very good guy, but he's like, you know, maybe a little bit explosive. When something goes wrong, sometimes he can like explode and become angry, but he works on it. But this is a good character for him, because when he becomes angry, he starts to play better and better. This is kind of thing that a new player who came on the team, at the start he was playing bad. A lot of people said that he's not ready, why did you took him? But with time, he became better. He watched a lot of demos. Probably first guy who watched like maybe one or two demos a day. I didn't ever see a guy like this. I also don't watch demos a lot.
All right.
But this guy watching a lot of demos, he's probably like a second shadow caller, if I can say like this. Yeah. And he also have a very sharp aim. Maybe like he has a tier 1 aim, but still not tier 1 experience. So if he will gain this experience, he'll become a very good player and insanely good player, I say like this.
And what about Kenzior, the player that you added at the end of last year? What about this guy?
Kenzior, he's just a killer. He's just a chill guy. You know, this is just a guy who brings vibes in the team. When we play official, when it's like stressful match, he will say some jokes or maybe something like this, you know. And also, he's very confident in himself, even when situation not good for a team. A bad score. For example, as yesterday against Astralis on Ancient, 11-6. We had 11-6. It was very important buy. He called the force and a very aggressive idea on mid. If we don't play like this when we in this position, when we have this score distance to opponent. But he called it with a lot of confidence. We trusted him and it worked for us. We won the important first round, and it helped us to come back against Astralis. Yeah.
By the way, if people aren't aware, there was actually a player who's now in NIP who was in BIT, which was obviously Wrinkle. So maybe people didn't know him before then, because it was actually NIP was the time he kind of got famous in the West. Who is this guy? Because I have to say, NPL, he has been hyped to people in the West. Like, he is like a Modesty type guy. Like, and it's I'll give him this. He certainly seems like he's got the attitude where he thinks he is. So who is Wrinkle? Is he really like that in private? Is he really that cocky?
No, in real life, he's not like this, but he's a very, good guy. I mean, he's very kind and a good person. Like, I also can say bad words about him, like, about Alex, but he's just a good teammate, good person. I mean, he also watched a lot of demos. He's very, like, it's a kind of a grinder player, you know? He grinds a lot, he watches a lot of demos, he will somewhere sacrifice his role to help the team, and yes, it's a good person.
By the way, as I said earlier, you had like moments last year where people got to see the team is good or go to some lands. It must be a big deal to qualify to the major. Give me some thoughts on this.
Sorry, can I repeat?
It must be a really big deal to actually qualify to go to the major. Like, you're going to be at the biggest tournament, like, maybe ever.
When we had 0-2, I felt that we played like on Shanghai RMR, because also we had a lot of expectations. We had 70% win rate online before MRQ. It's pretty big, I think. And as I said, we had big expectations, and also, again, we couldn't handle the pressure. I talked with my team and I said, guys, we have to do it right now and just throw away our thoughts and just play our game. That's it. I mean, that was very hard because every person is different. For example, Essential, the most unexperienced player in our team, he next day against Prevision, he started to play like we started before. He played without thoughts. He just played our CS. Also Kensizor and Alex, but Hattrick had some like, I feel like he had some pressure still. But when we won against Prevision, he totally changed. He changed totally, and we was playing like a team. And I felt that we can make it. And I also, even before that match against Paravision, I said to Essentials that we will make it no matter what. I mean, we can beat any team in this MRQ, because even, let's say, Gamer Legion and Astralis is pretty good teams. They played here on LANs. But, I mean, in this meta, Maxon 13 and CS2, every team can win every team. Except with Vitality right now.
Sure.
Yeah, they're too strong. And yes, so we just played our game. We just focused on communications, on our aim, on our playstyle. And I said to my guys, just trust me on mid rounds, and that's it. Because when we played RMR on Shanghai and these first two matches on MRQ, we had problem with mid calls, because I feel like guys was panicking a lot, and in mid rounds they were making too much ideas, and I just said, guys, just we have to focus on this and just trust me, I will make a good calls if I feel bad and I will feel that I cannot call anything, I will ask you and you will do it. So when you just trust me, and I'm really thankful to them about this, that just trust me, and we qualified.
By the way, seeing as this tournament had all ranges of team level opposition, the idea that the last match that could qualify you was against Astralis, those are like really fucking device brawl, those like the heroic players, those like really famous players. Was it really nervy on that last map? Were you nervous on that ancient game when it was super close? What was it like?
I mean, on second day when we had 2-3, I said I'm on a 3-2 when we had 3-2. I told my guys that there was a case scenario when we will play against Astralis in the last game. And it happened. And we just couldn't do anything with it, so we just had to run Anne's game first. It was also a hard game. We couldn't... Probably if something went wrong on Ancient against Anne's last map, on score 7-7, we started to gaining rounds and won them. But it could all end there. It could all end there. But we won them, and that game against Astralis. Oh, yeah. Also, we had a talk with Psychology. Yeah. I told to my guys and to Psychology that, guys, I'm full focus right now. Just trust me. Today. Just trust me, we will win. We will win them. No pressure. And we won ends. Then we play against Astralis. We're joining Mirage, and I feel that I'm like a full focus. No, zero nerves. But at the end, on Ancient, when we had score like 2011, I felt in my hand that like a bit of nervous tickles, you know, nervous tickles. But I could have handled it. And also, I really have a good team, and they also helped me a lot. And every player like made it a lot for the scene.
One thing that people might not be aware of is your team is actually very young age. Like, everyone's like 19 years old, basically. Like, I was looking, there's no veterans. Normally in CS, it's the other way around. You have one or two youngsters and a lot of like old school players. Is there a reason why this team's just only young players? You don't want older guys? You don't want veterans established? But is it trying to be a young project?
No, it's just... I mean, on the Ukrainian market, there's not a lot of good players. And if there's a good players, they're in a good organizations with a good salary, and not every player wants to join bait, for example, because some players can just go to some European organizations with good salary, with other also good players. And sometimes they consider it's better than playing with us, for example. Yeah. And in my opinion, we... consider to build the best Ukrainian stack which we were able to make. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, wait, if I ask a question about the future, I just mean in a general sense, not something specific. Obviously, right now you play in bait, it's your team, you're the captain, etc. But is it down the line in the future years, would you be interested in playing in an international team, playing in a team where people speak English? Do you want to stay in Ukraine? What's your premise?
I mean, for now, I don't want to change my team, even if we fail a major. Or we have like some conflicts in our team. I mean, it doesn't matter. We have to work, and we will for sure make a step to another level, like Mongols did, because they also had some like changes before. I mean, even when I played Navi, there was IHC, I guess.
Yes.
And yeah, there was Blitz and Techno. And they changed a lot, but this time, like 2 or 3 years, they became a tier one team for sure. Very good team. Still, they have some problems, but that's okay for them because they're also very young. And after 9-10 joins, they didn't make any changes, and it worked for them. They became better and better and better. So I think I'm fine with my team right now, and I don't want to join international. But in future, probably I can, yeah.
Similar question. At the moment, you're the in-game leader, but it's actually quite rare that someone who's a teenager is an in-game leader. Normally, that's like the older role, people who are 30 years old or 25 years older. In fact, the perception among a lot of Western players is you do that role when you sort of don't have the skill to frag anymore. You do it as like a way to still be part of the team and use experience. Is in-game leader something? Do you plan on... Are you always going to be an in-game leader? Like, if I did an interview with you in 10 years, will you be an in-game leader the whole time? Is that who you're going to be?
I had a psychology in Navi, and I talked with her about this, that in the future I could become IGL, but I didn't expect this will be so fast.
Right.
And yeah, But I mean, this is fine for me because I like to manage players and manage like team ideas, and I mean, it's fine for me. Yeah, it's fine for me. I was ready for this. It's not, it wasn't like the only one option for us in bait back then that I had to took it. Now I was ready for this, and it was fine for me.
By the way, you've mentioned a number of times now using the sports psychologist, this extra role in Counter-Strike. I will say I'm actually quite surprised that you guys are so open to it, because a lot of times when I talk to young players, it's actually the young players that don't think it's worth anything. They think like, oh, who needs that? Like, I know how to play the game. Like, I don't need any. It seems like you're quite open to this idea. Like, it can, as I mean, in the English term is like support staff. It's like people who help you, like, get through the experiences, etc. Like, it's something of interest to you?
I had a lot of psychologists, but only two in Navi and in Bait was good for me. I
right.
mean, it's like it's very individual, you know, because some people just do not connect. And but for me, everything is fine with our psychologist, psychology in Bait and in Navi back then. It was like. It helped me a lot back then, and helps me a lot right now in Bait. Yeah, it's very important even for the team, because when I talk with my psychologist, I give her thoughts about players, and she works with them, and probably fixing some mistakes, some problems, and. It helps for the team, for sure.
One last question I have to ask you, because you were in Na'Vi, so you can actually answer this. The rest of us just have to guess. Is when people see those documents of all the strats and all things written down, and you hear all these stories of Blade, and he makes him sound like he's the greatest, like, genius scientist guy ever, coming up with all the plans, and he does it with every single player, and he can change in-game leader. Like, he just seems like a wizard. Is some of that overblown? Are some of the strats, like, simple? Is it the same thing that everyone's doing? Is he going super in-depth and making people memorize a lot of stuff? What would you say to that perception?
I can say that he's for sure, he's for me at least, he's mastermind of CS, because he watches a lot of demos. I worked for him like for half a year, but even at that time was enough for me to understand that he's like completely doing his job for 100%. Even, I mean, we had the bootcamp, he came, I mean, in the morning, he sit on the chair, his table, he put his laptop and watching demo whole day. And then at the end of the day, he just closes his laptop and going to sleep or maybe chill a bit. And
okay.
Then, yeah, that's like, I mean, like out of my mind. It's just like very insane to understand, you know. And also about ideas, as you asked, he has a lot of his own ideas, but also he, because of his watching, because of it that he watched demos, he tried to introduce meta rounds in his team.
Right, he's taking things from other people that he's seeing, right?
Sometimes, yes, I guess, yeah.
Right. What about then, one last question along those lines, though, is how does his personality fit with that? Because one thing I want to know is, in interviews, he comes across very, you know, calm. Is he a guy that gets mad if you fuck up part of the strat? Is he understanding of younger players? What would you say in that sense?
I mean, he's a very calm person, but I mean, if something goes wrong... Of course, he will be mad because some players didn't make his idea. But after the game, when he has a cold mind, he will just analyze everything, talk with players without anger. Just to analyze and fix his mistakes. He's a person like this, I guess.
At the end of this interview, oh sorry, go on.
I mean, I just wanted to say that at least he was like this. I'm not sure. Maybe he changed.
Sure.
But I don't think so, by the way. But yeah.
Okay. At the end of the interview, do you have any final message for people who watched? Do you want to thank anyone or say hello to anyone?
Yeah, also I want to thank every fan that was with us during this summer queue and during this season at least, because this is very important for us. We are a young team, and for sure some players in my team watching comments, and when you guys supporting us, we can feel it, we can see it, and this is very important for us. Yeah.
Спасибо большое.
Дякую.
Oh yeah, you and whose army? Well, how about the Skrilluminati for one? They're the people who support my content. This video was kindly supported by The Concept, Matt Pugnatio Racula, Toucan, Jensen Gore, Tosh, Jason, Bane Diesel, Animosity, and you know it. Everyone does. A special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion, for the long-term support. Do you want to ask a question for my AMA videos? Would you like teasers? Find out what upcoming guests I've got? You want to suggest a topic or a guest? Maybe you want to be part of one of those one-hour lengthy online discussions I do where the topics are set by you. Well, if any of these perks or more tickle your fancy, I think you know what to do by now. Put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati where Patreon link in the description below.